أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا محمد، سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. بعد، الحمد لله، الله تعالى has given us the grace and blessings to see this Mubarak 27th day of Ramadan. We're in the last leg of the 27th fast. And despite the fact that whenever my children ask me when Eid is, I tell them if they cite the moon, it's going to be on Wednesday, and if they don't, it'll be on Thursday. But the preponderant astronomical probability is that it will be on Wednesday, which means what? You only have two fast days, and at least as a rational possibility, three fast days left. It is possible that it's cloudy all over North America or whatever, but it's very unlikely. One glad tiding that I give you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to his companions upon the sorrow of having only 29 days for Ramadan is that there are 2 months in the year that are never shortchanged. One is the month of Ramadan and the other is the month of Dhul Hijjah. That if they should happen to be 29 days, Allah Ta'ala will prorate you the reward for whatever the 30th day would have been according to what you did in the other 29 days. So it's all the more reason for a person to intensify their mujahadat and their struggles in these days to make Allah Ta'ala pleased with them, to seek Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Ameen. And because I was prepared to give like a 2 hour long lecture, but Qari Idris, he cut me off. He said he's only going to talk for a few minutes. So I kind of got slapped in the face. So we'll try to make this short, inshallah, for my benefit and for yours, lest Abu Bakr call security on me. Which is what? Look, the last Friday of Ramadan is done. 27 out of probably 29 fasts are done. The Khatam of the Quran is done. So, in some sense, the heavy lifting, you're over the hill. In some sense. But remember, this is a great principle that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really strove to emphasize to the people of this ummah, which is what? Which is that al-umuru bil khawatim, the things, the judgment that you put on things is very directly tied with how those things end. And for this reason, there is even a set of sunnahs with regards to how your Ramadan ends. Now, I know I said not yesterday, I think I was in Medina, the day before yesterday when I spoke after Asr, I said for the people who are in i'tikaf that it's better for them not to listen to the lecture, just read your Quran, make your du'as, make your dhikr, etc., engage in ibadah. And if you need to listen to the lecture as a rest because you're like, brain is fried, then this is better rest than maybe sleeping or like texting people on your phone or whatever. But, so I know I said all of that, but this is something, if you're in i'tikaf, listen to this right now. This is something you need to listen to. It's necessary to convey it as part of the preservation of Islam, in particular for those who are in i'tikaf. I myself was very surprised. I only learned this from books. Despite having done i'tikaf before going to study overseas, and despite having listened to many lectures from ulama, for some reason or another, maybe it's common knowledge in Toronto, but in many places it was not only common knowledge, but almost not practiced anywhere. If you're in i'tikaf, your i'tikaf will end once either the new moon is sighted and then Maghrib happens, you have your iftar on the last day of Ramadan, or if the new moon is sighted after iftar, once the new moon is sighted, or if the new moon is sighted not at all, then after iftar on the 30th day, this is technically when you can leave your i'tikaf. However, that's not when you're supposed to leave. If your i'tikaf is connected with the end of Ramadan, the sunnah is to stay the night of Eid, the night before Eid, in the masjid. And to leave straight from the masjid to the musalla of Eid, wherever the Eid salat is going to be prayed. This is another calamity that's befallen Muslims in different places, is that people pray salat al-Eid inside the masjid. It's makruh in both Maliki and Hanafi schools. In fact, in the Maliki school, it's makruh in the sense that like the prayer is valid, but there's no reward for it. So it would be wonderful. I mean, it's one thing if there's a valid excuse, like it's like 30 degrees, negative 30 degrees outside and people are going to die or whatever. But and people say, well, it's cold in the morning. Put on the jacket. You live in Toronto, for the sake of the Lord, just put on a jacket. If it's like... I don't know, I'm trying to convert like degrees from Fahrenheit to Celsius in my head. If it's like 10 degrees outside, you're not going to die. But that's neither here nor there. This is somewhat aside from what the point I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make is what? If you're in i'tikaf and your i'tikaf meets with the end of Ramadan, then you stay in the masjid until after you read Fajr, and then you go straight from the masjid to where? To the place of the Salatul Eid. You don't go home, you don't take a shower, you don't wear your nice clothes. In fact, if, for example, you're a little bit disheveled, if your hair is not Pantene Perfect Smooth, you know, award-winning beard, 100% crimped and all of this, if your clothes are not the nicest clothes in the world, this is in fact a badge of honor for you on that day. Everybody else should suit up and wear their like best clothes. For the people who are the mu'takifin, you're like the elite soldiers, the elite forces. Like in every military, the elite forces, they have a different identifiable dress that they wear. The Green Berets wear, what do they wear that's special? Guess. What is the special thing that the Green Berets wear that identifies them as a Green Beret? Anyone? MashaAllah, this guy's going places. Allahu Akbar. Everyone said MashaAllah, right? So you know, this person is not like the regular soldier who's like, you know, chopping up potatoes and like cooking for the platoon. This is the one that they send in when they want to like, you know, when they want to kill someone real, real big, you know? These are the elite forces. They get different food than everybody else. They have a different barrack than everybody else. They have a different uniform than everybody else. They get paid more than everybody else. Their rank is higher than everybody else. They get respected differently than other people get respected. They get taken care of. Why? Because they're the elite forces. So their uniform is different. Just like that, within the army of Islam, the mu'takifun, you also are elite people. Right? Just like I was told, mashallah, in Uzbekistan, in Central Asia, in the old days, they didn't allow anyone to wear a turban or a jubba unless they read the Hidayah. The chaban, only the people who've read the Hidayah are, you know, wear the chaban. It's a sign that you've achieved some sort of rank in your learning in Islam. So ulama have a particular rank, but it's different than the rank of the people of worship. The people of worship have a special rank, but it doesn't mean that you, just because you worship Allah a lot or you have a lot of ilm, that you automatically become a sayyid. Ahlul Bayt have a different rank within Islam, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like that, there are different distinctions that a person can have. For the people of i'tikaf, your special distinction, you go straight to the place of Eid, because of your disheveledness, because your hair is not nice and crimped, because your clothes are a little bit ragged, because you're feeling a little bit agitated, because you're not relaxed, because you've been praying the entire night, and you came straight from Fajr to the Musalla of Eid. This is one of the reasons that Allah Ta'ala doesn't not just accepts from you the Salat of Eid, but He accepts from you all of your ibadat for Ramadan, and accepts all of the ibadat of Ramadan from everybody else as well. Now, what happens, oftentimes people have the attitude, is it farther or is it a sunnah? Hayy i'tikaf is not a farther in the first place. And if you have some need, like the baby is sick at home and someone has to go get the medicine for the baby and I don't have a driver, and my wife doesn't have a driver's license, then go. In fact, break your i'tikaf and go get medicine for the baby. That's not a problem. That's a very normal and very rational and a very good thing to do. Maybe there's more reward in that than in staying in your i'tikaf. That being said, just because it's not farther, just because it's a little bit more difficult, it doesn't mean that you should blow it off. Rather, it's worth having. This is one of the reasons the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the reward of what? They mentioned the reward of different deeds, which is why what human beings don't do things that are unnecessary. If you explain to them why it's a benefit, then they get motivation to do things. I'm telling you, what's the benefit? The benefit for a person going to the Eid Salat is what? Like we mentioned in the Jum'ah Khutbah, that Allah Ta'ala accepts your fasting, Allah accepts your prayers, Allah Ta'ala accepts your zakat, sadaqah, sadaqah al-fitr, etc. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, on top of that, forgives all of your sins, and on top of that, Allah Ta'ala writes in the place of your sins a reward. So that's a lot. That's really good. It's a good deal. even a kafir would think, like, imagine that, like, you know, I robbed a bank and instead of getting 7 years in prison, they could, like, give me $7 million. So that sounds like it would be utterly amazing. I would rob another bank just for that reason, you know? So imagine the people who, because of them, the Eid Salat is accepted. They get all of that reward put together and cash it in. Going to i'tikaf is not, like, possible for everybody. For some people, it's only possible once, twice, three times, a handful of times in their life. Some people, it's never possible. Their life will never afford them enough luxury that they're able to do this. So if you have the opportunity to do it right, can you imagine how much reward there is for that? You're the elite forces. You're like the elite forces of Islam. You have a rank, whether other people respect you or not. Because I know how people think. Most people don't even go to the masjid in the first place. Those who, you know, happen to straggle in, they say, oh, these babas are sitting in i'tikaf. These kids are sitting in i'tikaf because they have nothing to do. They have no other responsibilities. This is the way they think about it. Who cares what they think? Imagine you saw a man wearing a pink dress outside, and he said, oh, you're dressed weird. I don't care about your opinion of how I'm dressed. Look at you, right? Who cares what they think? Why would you care what other people think when you know that this is what the Messenger of Allah Ta'ala told you, that Allah Ta'ala sees you as? So this is my first advice of how to end Ramadan properly, is those who are in i'tikaf, make the niyyah in this Mubarak hour before the fast opens. That I will stay the night of Eid, I will pray and worship in that night, and I will go straight to the Musalla, however I may be. And I ask Allah and I seek from Allah Ta'ala that He also give me the reward of the acceptance of this Eid prayer, not only on my behalf, but on behalf of everyone who's here, because we were the ones who were fulfilling the Sunnah Mu'akkada of every masjid having the right of someone performing the i'tikaf and performing it properly. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala doesn't owe you anything, but you are here, aren't you? You should acknowledge that fact. And you are trying, aren't you? And you should, with great humility, ask Allah Ta'ala to accept it from you. Say, Ya Allah, we're trying. We're the ones who are trying. We're here. Nobody else is here. You decreed that we're here. Just like you brought us in here, you also bring us to the point of acceptance. Those of us who are not in i'tikaf, inshallah, keep this in mind for the future. When you make i'tikaf, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do it again and again. Give us enough health and wealth and free time to be able to do it again and again. Ameen. So keep it in mind, remember it, and remind other people as well. For those of us who are not in i'tikaf, so the i'tikaf guys, if you want, you clock out of the bayan now. For those who are the normies that are like not in i'tikaf right now, for those of us still, the night of Eid is a sacred night and a holy night. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he was raised in the household of Shafi'is. His uncle Muzani was one of Imam Shafi'i's closest students, and his mother was also a very important student of Imam Shafi'i. And so what happened, he grew up and he kind of threw a rebellion. He's like, I'm going to become Hanafi now, which I guess, you know, probably made for some awkward conversation with family. But that's kind of how that goes. At any rate, Imam Tahawi, lest anybody ever think that he betrayed the Shafi'is and, like, backstabbed them, he did one service for the ilm of Imam Shafi'i that, as far as I can tell, no other Shafi'i has done yet. And it's ironic what that service is. That service is that he compiled the musnad of Imam Shafi'i's hadith that he narrated, and he ordered it really well, and that seems to be the most popular. It's not, maybe not the only, but it seems to be the most widespread and most popular and well-preserved a collection of the hadith narrated by Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. And in fact, perhaps if he didn't do that, the hadith of Shafi'i would have been lost. So this is a great favor that he did to him and to his school. May Allah ta'ala accept from all of them. Ameen. One of the hadith that he mentions in there, that's a sahih hadith, is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who gives life to the nights of the two Eids, that person, لَمْ يَمُتْ قَلْبُهُ يَوْمَ تَمُوتُ الْقُلُوبُ, that person's heart will not die of fright on the day that the hearts die. Meaning the day of judgment, when people are like having a heart attack left and right because of how scary that is, on that day those people will be safe. Meaning what? Allah Ta'ala prescribes His remembrance for all things. We don't just have a Sunday that we go to church. We don't just have a Saturday that we go to the synagogue, or certain holy days that we, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, or whatever. We don't. That's not the way Islam works. Everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Caesar belongs to Allah Ta'ala. All of it is Allah. Every day of the week, there's a different shan that Allah Ta'ala expects something from you, and we hear and we obey to the best of our ability, and we seek forgiveness for our shortcomings. The night of Eid is a night of celebration, but it's tempered also with the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And the reason for the celebration, it's not just a day that intrinsically you're commanded to celebrate, but there's a reason for celebration. Every celebration in Islam has a reason. Like Canada Day, what are you celebrating for? It's not like you made Canada. Sure, you should be like proud Canadian. That's fine. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying that you should not love the place that you're from, or you should not have, some care and concern for it and love for it in a way that Islam teaches us how you should have love for things, which is not to wave the flag like an idiot every time other people do dumb things, but when they do something good to praise them and celebrate and help them, and when they do something bad to give them sincere advice, and if possible to stop them from doing what's bad. But Canada Day, what did you do? It's not like you made Canada. Christians celebrate Christmas. What did they do? Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam wasn't even born on that day, and even if he was, it was him that was born, not you. What are you celebrating? The 4th of July in America, same thing. It's not like it's not like myself, I was around to sign the Constitution of the United States or declare independence or any of that. All of these things are celebrating something external. The two Eids of the Muslims are what? As we mentioned glancingly in the Jumu'ah Bayan, they're celebrating what you did yourself, which is you fasted 30 days, you prayed Taraweeh, you gave your Zakat al-Fitr, you gave your Zakat, if this is the month that you give Zakat, and you did all of these things for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا وَخَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Let them celebrate that. Allah Ta'ala, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا وَخَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. This is the fadl of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is the book of Allah that came to you. You celebrate the goodness that you did yourself. Otherwise, what's the point of celebrating the book of Allah if you're not going to read it? The Eid al-Adha is the same thing. Someone said, well, Eid al-Adha is when, Abraham, blah, 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 alayhi salam. That's not, in that sense, that's not what you're celebrating. What are you celebrating? You're celebrating your own sacrifice. Again, I mentioned the Athar that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has money to give the sacrifice and doesn't give the sacrifice, then there's no point of them coming to the Eid Salat. You're not celebrating Sayyidina Ibrahim, alayhi salam's sacrifice. You learn from it and take inspiration from it, and thank Allah Ta'ala for him teaching it to you. But at the end of the day, the culmination of all of that is what? That you do it yourself. So much so that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is another reason that you don't pray Eid inside the Jami' Masjid Abu Bakr or any other masjid, other than the Masjid al-Haram and Makkah al-Mukarramah. He got down from the minbar after giving the khutbah, because you prayed the salat first and then you have the khutbah. He got down from the khutbah, the animal was tied right there. In front of everybody, he took the knife out and Allahu Akbar, la ilaha, and he slaughtered his animal. Malik rahimahullah ta'ala says that this is actually a condition for the validity of the slaughter, is that whoever the imam is in the place, he has to slaughter after him. Why? Because the companions of the Allahu Anhu, they would wait for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do his udhiyah first. And then they would all go home and do it exactly like he did it. In that sacrifice is great barakah, in that sacrifice is great acceptance. Then you celebrate. Then you celebrate because look, Allah gave you this gift that now you're allowed to make the sacrifice. And for every hair on the animal, you receive a reward. For all of the blood, you receive a reward. For the bones, you receive a reward. For the horns, you receive reward. For the hoofs, you don't even eat those. You receive reward. And that Allah Ta'ala accepts it even before the blood hits the ground. فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا. So be very happy about it. The Prophet ﷺ said, be very happy about it. Have a good feeling inside because of this. This is what our Eid is. So when you tell a kafir that we go to the masjid 5 times a day, they're like, yo man, that sounds really hard. And it is. I'll admit it myself. I live several miles from the masjid. I don't make it to the masjid 5 times a day. But then you tell the kafir that, yeah, and then on our one holiday, our day of celebration, our feast, We go six times. Say, yo man, your God is really demanding. From their point of view, that makes sense. I can understand why they would say that. But they don't understand, what is Allah giving you for going the sixth time? If Allah promised it to you, maybe you'd want to go a sixth time as well. So, worship Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because al-umuru bil-khawatim. Things are as they end. The moment of acceptance for all of your worship for the entire Ramadan is what? It's the moment of, it's the sacred hour of the Eid prayer. That there's a moment in it that Allah Ta'ala accepts from everybody. He accepts from one, then He accepts from everybody. Then after that, the rest of the day, go celebrate, enjoy yourself, be happy. But up until that moment, you know, they have this John Rock phenomenon amongst Desis. I don't know, do they do this in Uzbekistan or not? In Pakistan, India, what happens? Regular people, what they'll do is they'll be very religious during Ramadan. And then once the moon is sighted, oh, the guys who are teenagers who are in i'tikaf, they go out, they shave their like 1 week, you know, 10-day beard, and then they go and hang out in the market, in the bazaar, and like whistle at girls and completely forget what they were doing for the last 9 days, for the last 10 days. Don't forget. وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Allah Ta'ala commands you, never be from the heathens. Never ever, even when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're tired, never be from the heathens. Imagine that. We mentioned this in Medina Masjid, it bears repetition, even though many people find it inappropriate, culturally speaking, but it's part of the deen, it should be mentioned. Islam actually literally gives you a dua of how to make, that you're supposed to say when you make love. The person who makes love to his wife, the woman who makes love to her husband, says this dua at that time, remembers Allah at that time, that person will remember Allah at every moment. So your celebration is also tempered with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. You don't have to read 20 rak'ahs like Taraweeh. Just do something that you otherwise wouldn't have done. You stand up and read Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, and two rak'ahs and say, Ya Allah, even if my name is at the bottom of the list of the people who worshipped you in this night, at least it's on the list. Don't read the whole Sabah of Quran. Just read one page, read one ayah, read one line. Do something. Say, that's too much, Shaykh. That's too much. I'm tired. Just say Subhanallah. Everyone say it right, Subhanallah. MashaAllah. You know, like when you like buy something at like some like super like rainbow bright communist like hyper liberal corporation advertising campaign, say every purchase we plant a tree for you in the train rainforest or whatever, right? I'm like, that's great. I think that's wonderful. Masjid Abu Bakr should plant a tree in the rainforest too, right? You said Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala planted a tree for you in Jannah, MashaAllah, where there's no hole in the ozone layer. Or there's no global warming, there's none of this other stuff, right? So you just said Subhanallah one time, mashallah, your jaydab in Jannah just got a little bit bigger. Do something. The thing is that even if it's not a lot of work, and don't fool yourself into thinking you did something that huge in terms of yourself, but at least you can say, what, I did something. The intention oftentimes is more important. It's narrated from, it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said that the intention of a believer is oftentimes better and it's better with Allah Ta'ala than the actual action is itself. Because the action is a physical thing. You and me are not even doing those things anyway. Allah is doing those things. The intention that's inside of your heart is more appropriately attributed to you, even though at some level, in some locus, that's also Allah Ta'ala's decree, but that's none of your business, it's none of my business. We just know that it's true, but it's not something that we're responsible for worrying about. At any rate, make that intention and put your name on the list of those people who worshipped Allah Ta'ala in that night. For those of you who are not in i'tikaf, when you go to the Eid Salat, choose the Eid Salat that you want to go to carefully. Go pray behind someone who is pious and somebody who is learned. Go pray amongst people who are pious and learned. Go pray amongst a large gathering. Why? Because there's more likelihood that the person who the Eid Salat is going to be accepted from, there's such a person exists in that gathering. When you choose where to go to the Eid Salat, make a plan to be there early. Don't be there late and then say, oh, is there going to be a second one? Go there like a decent person who's looking forward to what you're doing, not like somebody who's going there against their own will because they have to. Tell your children, say the takbir on the way there. I know there's a difference of opinion in the Hanafi madhab. The takbir of Eid, the Eid al-Fitr, is said silently, but at any rate, remind yourself, remind your children to say this. This is the word that the awliya of Allah Ta'ala. People ask, they're like, Shaykh, you know, my wife hates me, can you give me a wazifa to say? You know, this is, in that moment, this is the wazifa for everyone, for all things, for the sick to get better, and for the weak to become stronger, and for the broke to get some money, and for the ones who have no game to find a wife, or for those who know none of the brothers are paying attention to them to find a husband. This is the every different, you know, your water pipes have a leak in the house and you need a word to like fix it. In that time, on the way to Eid Salat, what is the wazifa for all of that? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Say it yourself, tell your kids to say it, make them say it. If threats of violence work, then who am I to judge? But oftentimes more effective than that would be like, you know, say, hey, you know, we'll take you for ice cream after, or something like that. Whatever you need to in order to do it, you know, induce them to do it, but the best thing you can do is do it yourself as well so that they see you're serious about it. Your wife, your husband, whoever, as a family, you're going in the car. It's better to walk. It's a sunnah to walk. So if you live around or close enough to walk, it's okay. You know, just walk to the Musalla of Eid. But be saying this takbir when you're on your way there. Wear your nice clothes for the sisters. Obviously, it's haram for them to wear flashy clothes outside of the house. But you can wear them under your abaya, inshallah. And then show them to your family and to your loved ones and your near and dear ones. For the brothers, you wear your nice clothes on that day as well when you go out to Eid, so people can see that this is a special day for the Muslims. That Eid is the Yom Mashud, so the more people who see you on the way, this is one of the reasons that it's sunnah to go to Eid, go in one route and come back going another route, because the more people who see you on the way to Eid and on the way back from Eid, the more reward you get. Wear your perfume. The perfume for the men is the perfume that has a nice fragrance. For the ladies, it's the one that has a sedate fragrance that you can only smell from very close by. So don't put on like, you know, super perfume, you walk by and like 10 brothers turn their head. That's not right. That's haram, it's a sin. But there are certain types of perfume we used to wear, like za'afran and things like that. You can smell it when you come very close to a person, but from far away it's not something that has this awful like propellant that they put in these fake perfumes in the West that they sell nowadays, and they started doing that with their roots, and it's horrible. Don't put those on, please. And the last thing I want to say is take the day off from work. Take the day off from school. If you have children, this counts double, triple, quadruple. You forcing your kids to go to maktab and get beat by Qari Saab, it's probably not it's good, as long as he doesn't like, you know, hurt them or whatever, and complies to whatever local, provincial, and like federal regulations. But like, it's not the only thing that's gonna keep them close to Islam. Why? Because not all of us are pious people. As a relatively impious person myself, I'll tell you, oftentimes the things that binds the hearts to the deen the most is what? It's the good times. So for the sake of the Lord, don't go to school, don't go to work. On the day of Eid, take your kids to something fun. If you're broke, as I've been very broke for most of my life, I had small children, what I used to do, mashallah, I would be like, you guys want to go to the car wash? Because you remember kids, they have fun in everything. They have fun doing everything. And you know the fun part is, they think the car wash is fun when you grow up. I'm sad to break it to you. It's not fun at all. It's just dumb. You're like, man, I have to do this again, and it costs money. It's not fun. There's no fun in it. But you know what the fun part is? You're with your baba, or you're with your mama, you're with your brothers and sisters, right? That's what the fun is, right? So don't worry about, like, if you're spending, like, a huge amount of money or whatever. If you have stupid relatives and stupid friends that boast about how much fun they had based on how much money they're spending, this is a sign that you should probably, like, not meet them as often until they change. Your friends, you can just cut them off, you know, and just like say Eid Mubarak by email. Your family, it's a little bit more tricky. That's a subject of another band, but there's a way of distancing yourself from them without, you know, doing something haram. But they're not good people. Find company of people who are like that. They have fun because they're with one another, and because they have something inside rather than how much money they spend. You know, how much does it cost to buy like two, like whatever, things of ice cream? you know, it's not free, but it's not a whole lot of money, and like two tubs of ice cream can feed a whole lot of children, mashallah. And it's something that they don't get every day, and if they do, they probably shouldn't. And you can have talk to a doctor about why that is. But like on Eid, buy it for them. Make sure that they have fun, make sure that you have fun with them, go for a walk, do something cheap, free, whatever, but something that's fun. Why? Because what's going to happen when a person is later on, goes through life, not every child is going to grow up their whole life and pray five times a day. It's sad, but it's true. Not every child is going to grow up and is going to fast every month, every Ramadan, or is going to avoid zina, or avoid alcohol, or avoid drugs, or avoid this, or avoid that. But they're still Muslims, right? The thing that saves you on the Day of Judgment is not like how long your beard is. Otherwise, I would have had a 3-foot beard by now. The thing that saves you on the Day of Judgment is what? It's a secret that the beard partakes in, participates in, which is what? It's iman. And imagine that in a person's dying moments, when they remember, they think about their whole life and they know this is it, I don't have much time left. And they say, I remember my father on the day that he took me for ice cream. And he thinks this is a good thing. Tell me, isn't that a sign of iman? Right at that moment, he's not going to say, yeah, you know, I like... shot up a syringe of heroin with a hooker like somewhere like in the shady side of Scarborough and I'm proud of that. On that day, which thing will they think is better? That I had ice cream with my father on Eid. If he doesn't have that memory, then what's left? The other thing? That thing is not going to carry a person out of the hellfire. It's going to plunge them deeper into it. Even if a person doesn't. Because Muslims are sinners. Muslims are some of the craziest sinners out there. I hate to admit it, but it is true. So this is also part of your deen. Now, if I told you right now it's hard tonight to finish, make an entire khatam of Quran, how many of you are going to do it? Those who are able to do it, more than 90% won't do it. Others will be saying, I'm not able to do it. This is something everybody's able to do, and it's something that's not difficult or tedious. It's actually, it's exactly what a person wants. So in that sense, to not do it is a greater sin and a greater rebellion and a greater affront to the Lord than not doing something that's difficult. Because when you don't do something that's difficult, at least you can say, Ya Allah, I wanted to do it, but it was just hard. Whereas with this, you just didn't want to do it. That's the only excuse, because there's nothing hard about it whatsoever. The usul, by the way, of how you should celebrate Eid is what? That your Eid celebration should be even funner than every Christmas and every Halloween and every other weirdo holiday that they have. So I tell my children also, I tell them, like, I remember my eldest daughter, it's not like they don't even like these things, but sometimes it just feels bad to get left out. It sucks to feel left out. So my daughter one time, you know, my wife told me that she said she's going to like get her out of the Halloween party at school. You know, she didn't want her to celebrate Halloween. Halloween in Canada is crazy. I remember when I was a kid, I used to live on the border. I used to go to Vancouver. It was like, you know, trick-or-treating and fireworks and God knows what. And we don't even have fireworks on Halloween in the United States. And so my father didn't graduate from Deoband, so like he has no idea about any of these things. And really, they didn't really think about them. They didn't even care to think about them. So at least I used to dress up like a Dracula and go trick-or-treating as a kid. I feel very ashamed of it. I have to say it was a lot of fun, but now I can understand why it's like totally screwed up and like shouldn't have happened. And if I told myself what I knew now, I wouldn't have wanted to do it either, but we were just heedless of everything. So my daughter, my wife told her, you know, that I'll pick you up early so you don't go to the Halloween party at school. And she said that my daughter started to cry. And so what did I do on the way home from work that day? I went to the grocery store and I found every candy, every cookie, every cake, every ice cream that I remember when I was a kid, I asked my mother for, and she never let us get. Allah Ta'ala raise her rank and make her from his beloved ones, Ameen, and like that, all of our parents, Ameen. And I said, this day, inshallah, you know, there's wisdom for her not getting them from me, I'm glad she didn't get them. But I'm just saying that, you know, this day, inshallah, I took it home and I displayed it out. I made a big display of all of it on the table at home, and the ice cream I left in the fridge, freezer I should say, and I said when the kids came home, I said, is it true that you cried when you couldn't come to the Halloween party? She says, yes, but it's not because it's just, I said, I understand. I know you don't want to participate, it's like kufr and the pagan holiday, you understand, but I know that sometimes it hurts that other people are enjoying and not part of it, right? I said, look, remember this always, remember this, look at that table, we'll see all the things. And remember, no one ever gives up anything for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, except for Allah Ta'ala will give them something so much better. I go, what trick-or-treating is going to give you all of these things, right? I said, but you'll get even better than this in the Akhirah. But just remember this day, that what Allah will always give you something better than whatever everybody else has. Sometimes it may take a while, but it will happen, I promise you. Even this, Allah will give you something better on the other side. This is just like a penny on the dollar. You have to do that for your kids. If you want to save their iman, you have to do that for your kids. It shouldn't just be all maktab meetings. You can do that too within reason and within legal whatever parameters. That's fine. But it shouldn't just be that. You have to do this for your kids. You have to do this. Your pops is in the bayan right now, right? So make sure. Say, remember Mawlana Sahib? So Eid's got to be fun, right? Eid's got to be fun. Every other day, if you want to buy candy at the store, no. This day, fine. Pick whatever, whichever one makes you happy and go get it. This is my sincere and simple advice for those who are listening on how to end your Ramadan properly and how to implement the commandment of the Lord that you should have your farah, you should have your exuberance and your outpouring of happiness because of the fadl of Allah Ta'ala and because of His rahmah. You also remember the times that you were deprived of something. Remember, inshallah, don't worry. Just because you're old and your beard is gray and you know, perhaps you don't look as nice as you did when you were younger. Don't look back at the things that you missed out on because of your deen and because of your iman and feel bad about it. Allah Ta'ala has prepared something like this. Table is waiting for you as well. If not in this world, it's waiting for you on the other side as well. And it's better than anything you could have prepared in this world. And also remember, parents, mashallah, tell your children this, that before shaitan makes you an offer and you're tempted to take it, let me at least make a counter offer. we'll buy you out, inshallah. We'll buy out the contract, inshallah. Like Allah Ta'ala buy us out of all of our difficulties and despairs and all of our feelings of deprivation and mujahadat that we make. Allah Ta'ala accept all of these from us. Allah Ta'ala give us a good end to the month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala like that give us a good end to this life, just like we have a wonderful iftar prepared for us today. May Allah Ta'ala also make the moment of our death like an iftar for us and make the moment of meeting Him like an iftar for us and make our Eid Mubarak be the day that the angels say to us, Salamun alaykum tibtu fadkhuluha khalideen, that peace be upon you, that you were good. So now enter into Jannah forever and ever. Allah Ta'ala give us all from His fadl and Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Are there any questions?